If you're going to open a business, a salon business, you have to be okay with people being good and not great.
Yeah.
And if you're out there trying to make everyone great, you're going to fail.
Hello, hairdressers. I'm Sid Charisse.
And I'm David Bosher.
You're listening to Destroy the Hairdresser, the podcast.
A one-on-one coaching company for hairdressers by hairdressers.
If you are still using a front desk in your salon, it may be time to future-proof your business with Aura Salonware. Aura allows you and your team to check clients out from any device. That means there's no need for a front desk or front desk overhead. What's even more amazing is that clients can check themselves out using the Aura app from their own device. With Aura Salonware, you can finally let technology streamline your business. Start removing your front desk today by visiting aurasalonware.com/DTH to receive special discounts and promos.
Do you know what your hair color is costing your business? Well, SalonScale does. Discover how SalonScale's cost-saving technology can save your business money. Their mobile app and Bluetooth scale accurately calculate the cost of hair color usage. It records formulas, tracks product usage in real time, helps manage expenses, reduce waste, and boosts profit.
We want to give all of our listeners 10% off their first year of SalonScale by visiting salonscale.com/DTH. And for our current students in our one-on-one coaching program, you will receive 25% off all team and solo annual plans. Ask your coach for details to redeem.
Let's talk about how hard it is to transition. How hard it is to transition from being behind the chair to running a salon.
This is a tough one because it's emotional too.
It's super emotional. I think one of the biggest, it's funny, the most success that we have in our coaching program is also the biggest issue we have in our coaching program, which is
when they let go of that attachment.
When, yeah, the success of the salon owner turns into, I don't need to do hair anymore. But then, which is great, huge win.
Yeah.
And then turns into, I don't know who I am unless I'm doing
Their identity is broken until they find and establish a new identity as an owner. And that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
I think too, like we spend our whole careers obviously being hairdressers and being in a hairdresser mindset and only knowing that and then breaking that.
Build your clientele.
Yeah.
Build your clientele.
And then, you know, we do go into ownership or we do, and not saying people, you start to learn your identity as an salon owner is like 2 years, right? Versus you're 20 years behind the chair. And so you still do hair and then, you know, your team starts to get bigger. And let's say you're an incredible leader and this is great. What happens is the bigger your team gets, the more successful your salon gets, the more it needs someone running the ship, guiding the show, you know?
I feel like salon ownership is a lot like becoming a parent.
Yeah.
You know, like when they hand you the baby and you leave the hospital and they're like, good luck. And you're like,
like, you can't hang out with your friends like you used to.
But also, like, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Like, who am I now?
Or just learning and starting over in any career, even though we're in the same field, it is truly starting another path in a different career. And I think that's why people only take balayage classes or they stay with one specialty because it's an advancement of what they already know. So there is a level of comfort there. But if you were to completely go outside your comfort zone, completely do something else, that's where it starts to become hard and emotional.
Yeah. I think with salon ownership, it's really interesting because we have blended salon ownership into remaining a hairdresser. And at Destroy the Hairdresser, we are coaching salon owners to remove that portion of things.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you can't do hair. Everyone gets so worked up. Like, well, I still want to do hair. I want to do
hair. Some people don't want to.
I don't.
Mm-hmm. Some people do not want to do hair. We have a lot of students that own salons, multiple
salons.
I want
to play hair.
And they play hair, but
I don't want to do hair.
They don't take clients anymore.
I don't want to rely, as someone who wants to own a salon, I don't want to rely on my income to hold the whole thing up. Mm-hmm. And I know that sometimes that's what we do, right? We have, okay, I can pay the rent and do all these things. It's good that you can, but when you build the business like that first, it's really hard to get yourself out of that. Not just because other people can't keep up, but because you're already doing all that.
Yeah.
When you open a business, for example, if I want to open a restaurant, I don't cook. I'm not a chef.
Mm-hmm.
I don't wait tables. So, but I could still open a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to hire the people to do those things. Hairdressers, we never really did that part. We just went right from being a hairdresser to a salon owner because it made sense.
We stay in the same industry.
But there should be a cutoff where you're like, I'm going to open a salon and I'm going to find the best talent. Mm-hmm. Because if you're the best talent and you're holding everything together, you're not out there looking for it.
Yeah.
Because you don't need it.
Well, then it's a shit show outside.
Oh, it's a
because
nightmare.
Because everything around you is just happening, existing. You're not holding anybody accountable. There is no mentorship. There is no leadership.
And then you're burnt out.
Because you have to do all the back end of running the business. And, you know, next thing you know, you're like, the business won't survive without me. That's a red flag. That's a red light right there.
It's a red light.
Mm-hmm.
But I have this theory. I don't know if it's a theory. I just think that with salon owners, we want everyone to be like us. We want them to blow dry hair like us. We want them to color hair like us. We want them to cut hair like us. And that's the quickest way to ruin your business.
Yeah, I want people that are the complete opposite of me.
Yeah, and you can't.
Even our coaches are like that. Our coaches are not the same.
But it's kind of like this is very 90s hairdresser. Like, I'm going to teach you how I do hair, mm-hmm. and you're going to do everything I do the way I do it.
That's how they were grown into this industry.
It's like telling someone who's left-handed, you're going to be right-handed now.
Yeah.
Right? Or vice versa. It will happen, but there will be more mistakes. It'll be more complicated. That person will feel inadequate, even though they are not. And I see this happen in salons all the time. Where they're like, well, they've been an assistant, but they're not ready to go on the floor. And they are ready to go on the floor. Mm-hmm. They're just not an exact replica, or they don't hit that perfect standard of what this person who's been doing it for 20 years is expecting of them. And it's like, you have to come at it like, okay, I'm going to open a restaurant. I'm going to hire a chef. I don't know what a perfect chef is, but I know a bad one.
Yeah.
And I know a good one. When I look at hairdressers, as a salon owner, I need to say, okay, I don't know what a perfect hairdresser is. And that's okay. Even if I think I do know what mm-hmm. it is. And this person is good enough to be on the floor. If you're going to open a business, a salon business, you have to be okay with people being good and not great.
Yeah.
And if you're out there trying to make everyone great, you're going to fail.
I mean, they have to have their own journey. I also just think when you are now in this role as being a leader, I mean, it's naturally, I hear this too, I want to open a salon, but I don't want to manage people. I don't want to, you know, you shouldn't do that because the natural lineup, is that the word I want to use?
Cycle, maybe, or
kind of role is if you own the business, you are already seen in a leadership position.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you don't want to be in it, your team that you hire is going to look at you like that. And that's where a lot of things fail because there's expectations in that role as well. And then you're not living up to them. I will say if you're doing hair and you're not sure how to transition or how to cut it off, the bigger your team gets, the more days you need to take off. And eventually that might mean maybe your team's so big that now you're getting paid a salary from your business and you're running your business and you're actually spending more time with your team coaching them and leading them versus taking clients.
I'm glad you brought up salary. That is such a hard transition as well for salon.
To get paid consistently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For salon owners to get paid a salary, a good salary, but because it's not the up and down of, I made this much this week and I made, like, because that high and low is gone and they're just making a consistent salary, it takes a minute. It's like anyone who works on commission, once you get a salary, there's this feeling of like, well, how do I make more?
Yeah.
Because as a hairdresser, you can make more by doing more work. As a salon owner, you're getting off that roller coaster and you're saying, I need to make a consistent living for myself. That way, if the salon brings a ton of money, you still get paid the same.
Yeah.
But if the salon doesn't bring in a lot of money, you get paid the same. That way, the numbers of the business kind of cycle, but you finally have a consistency that you've wanted, but then when you get it, it's terrifying. And now, a word from our sponsors.
What if you could still give your clients great hair with less products? What if that product line made you money with less inventory on the shelves? What if that product line was also made with gentle ingredients, is biodegradable, and the packaging is refillable? All this may seem impossible, but with Hairstory, it is possible. Hairstory is a brand that is equal parts mindful as it is great hair. Give your clients amazing products while filling your bank account with extra cash. Ready to try New Wash for free? Visit hairstory.com/DTH to get pro access today.
We have spent the last year working with our amazing partners at CTX to bring you hairdresser healthcare. We at Destroy the Hairdresser, in a groundbreaking collaboration with health industry veterans, are bringing our listeners health plans that cover every professional in the beauty industry. This includes individuals, teams, and families. We are currently in the process of insuring thousands of beauty professionals in all 50 states. Healthcare benefits are now open, and guess what? There's no enrollment deadline. Sign up during any month of the year and gain health benefits quickly. Get your name on the list by visiting destroythehairdresser.com/hairdresser healthcare.
Also, the hairdresser mindset, which is dangerous to have when you are in that position as a salon owner leader, is to look at it week by week and then panic when your salon maybe didn't do as well and you got paid the same.
Yeah.
That is a hairdresser mindset, because think about what we do as hairdressers. Like, no offense, but it's true. We all do it. If you are full time behind the chair, you have a slow week, all of a sudden your world is crumbling. There's no conscious.
Even if you say you're not crumbling,
you are. You know, there's like, I'm panicking. But if you actually looked at your whole numbers as a month, the quarter, the year even, unless that is dipping, then you're doing well. It's just managing money. And I think that's the one thing that like a lot of hairdressers don't do, is manage their money to last them throughout an annual cycle versus—
Absolutely not.
Like, or even quarter to quarter versus week to week, month to month. And I think owners do that and then they're like, well, I have to take my salary anyway. It's like, no, we're going to reassess at the end of the quarter. Like, is projections, like, this is where having a financial advisor is so important, because are you going above what it costs to run your business a day? Or are you paying yourself more than you should, what your business is bringing in? And then when you look at all that, then you have this opportunity to be like, okay, I can make adjustments. But just because you're business had a bad week or people took off work doesn't mean that you shouldn't get paid.
Oh, people get real freaked out when hairdressers take work off. But I just think it's really interesting to watch how difficult it is. And as coaches, that we help with that transition. But you can just see how our industry has, I don't know how else to explain it. Like, you know when the body has like a lot of scar tissue?
Yeah.
From doing
your
the
body
same.
Keeps score. It's a book and it's really good and you should read it. It's about holding trauma in your body.
I mean, do I need to read it? I already know.
You feel it.
So there's this idea that, like, you know, if the body has scar tissue, it builds up over time because you just keep doing that repetitive motion. And I feel like the salon industry has tons of scar tissue. So we just keep doing the same things. And then you have someone like DTH, coaches like DTH come along, and we're breaking up that scar tissue. It's
painful.
Going to be very painful, but that doesn't mean it's not good. And I think that's what people, when they are in our program.
Giving you a business massage.
Yeah. We're
deep tish.
Deep tish. But I think understanding that the tools that we give people are painful, not because they're bad or don't work, but because they actually do work, but it's the industry flexing or bending in a way it's never bent before. I think that is so important to understand that, you know, hourly pricing is amazing and it works and it's powerful. Scheduling freedom is amazing and it works and it's powerful. Going gratuity free is amazing and it works and it's powerful. But it is very painful to do because it requires that you rewire everything about what you've learned and also redo and restructure your business against what everyone else is doing. And that
is scary because
terrifying.
People are very vocal about that.
Very vocal.
People are very vocal about the way other people do business. Like,
people are very vocal about other people in general.
Yeah.
But it's important that you use critical thinking and that you figure out what works for you and what works and what doesn't, because truth is truth. But at the end of the day, I can tell you that learning how to become a salon owner is not just, okay, I have enough clients to open my own space. That's not salon ownership. That's just a glorified hairdresser that has a lot of clients.
Yeah.
And again, there's a lot of nuances here. It's not just stop doing hair. There are transition periods, but it's more the mindset of when I become a salon owner, I need to think like a business owner, not a salon owner, a business owner.
Well,
I think if you think like a salon owner, the assumption is hairdresser turned.
Okay, I get that.
Do you get
that.
What I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like you almost have to like.
I say salon
I'd rather
owner
you
because
think of it like
I
a restaurant, honestly.
True.
Not run it like a restaurant, but think like, okay, I don't know how to do hair, so let me just find the people that do. Even though you know how to do hair, maybe your way is the best way since sliced bread. But if you can go with the mindset of like, I don't know what I'm doing, so I should hire all the right people. That's where you should come from.
Yeah.
When opening and hiring, it's like
the reason why I said salon owner is because I think there is a level of empathy that still comes there for the hairdresser, and I think there's this idea of I become a business owner, even though they're both the same fucking thing.
It's like
but,
boss.
Yeah. But even if you become that, that you are going to lose that. And I think that you can, they both exist and they both can be real and you can be an empathetic leader as well as hold people accountable. And
isn't and, holding people accountable empathetic?
Yeah, exactly.
I think not holding people accountable is
disrespectful. Yeah. So I do think it's this level of like, if you cannot do all those things, then you shouldn't go into having a business.
Exactly.
Because that's why our industry is the way it is. Because
just because you're good at hair doesn't mean you're going to be good at business.
Yeah.
And
we love opening salons and we encourage it because we look at it as a money generator and a wealth machine. But at the same time, you have to have the capacity and capability to do it or it doesn't work. It will fail.
You need help. Anyone out there running a salon without a coach or support of any kind, I don't know how you're doing it. I don't know how anyone's doing it.
I mean, just...
they're just white-knuckling
you know
it and making
of,
it
like,
up.
Everything's on fire and the dog's like, it's
that's
fine.
Salon owners.
That's it. It feels like that every day.
And then, you know, it's... I don't care if you work with DTH, but you need to work with someone if...
this industry will not change if there isn't.
By the way, it's so American to go, I know how to do business when you've never done it. Oh, I know how to run a salon, though you've never run
Because our country
one.
Is set up.
I know how to run a restaurant.
So when everyone can open their own business.
Yeah, and you should open a business, but there are so many pieces like, okay, let's say you and I want to open a coffee shop, which we kind of do. Mm-hmm. We don't know anything about that.
Mm-mm.
We would have to hire someone to help us.
Yeah.
Right? And that's okay. It's not because you're an idiot. I think a lot of people think I'm stupid if I get help.
Yeah.
You're not stupid if you get help. You're fucking smart. You're a genius. Geniuses have help. Geniuses have support and coaches. So don't be stupid. Be a genius.
Peaches.
Don't be stupid.
Is there lunch yet?
Next time on Destroy the Hairdresser, the podcast.
I had someone say, I just want to take my salon gratuity free. And I was like, so are you going to allow your staff to choose their pricing? No.
Are you going to change their commissions?
No. I'm like, then you can't go gratuity free.
So we're going to take money from them. You'll lose your staff.